Our study today is going to be on Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 29. This is the second half of Hebrews 10, which we began in our last study. Now, this passage is dealing with a very important subject, dear listener, the cost of unbelief. The greatest danger every believer faces while on this earth. This study is based on what was said about the perfect and complete redemption obtained for all the human race, for the entire humanity in Christ and Him crucified. To fully appreciate what is being said about the cost of unbelief, it would be helpful if I did a quick review of what we already covered in our last study, which was Hebrews 10 verses 1 to 22. This study can be summed up in four important points. They are, number one, in the body God prepared for Christ, which, as I mentioned, was the corporate body of the human race He came to redeem. That is why Christ is called the second Adam or the last Adam, because the word Adam means mankind. Type met antitype. In other words, Christ fulfilled all that was promised in the sanctuary service of the Old Testament. Christ satisfied all the demands of the law, thus obtaining for mankind a salvation that is full and complete. And that is what the writer of Hebrews spells out in the first 10 verses of chapter 10. Then number two, unlike the repeated sacrifices of the sanctuary service, this perfect redemption, this one sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, was finished or completed once and for all for the human race from Adam to the last human being that will live on this earth. In other words, on the cross, when Jesus Christ, it is finished, He was expressing a truth that Hebrews 10 verse 14 brings out, and that is, let me read it for you from my NIV Bible. Because by one sacrifice, that is the cross of Christ, He has made perfect forever those who are being made perfect. In other words, in Christ we have a salvation that is full and complete, and that's in verses 11 to 14 of Hebrews 10. Then going to verses 15 to 18 of Hebrews 10, which is the third important point that I would like to bring to your attention, the Holy Spirit confirms this truth, that is the finished work of Christ, in the hearts of all believers by giving them full assurance of their salvation and writing the law in their hearts. This, of course, is the fulfillment of the new covenant promise that God made in the Old Testament. And finally, in verses 19 to 22, which is point number four, we believers can approach, because of this finished redemption, because we stand perfect in Christ, we believers can approach the very presence of God boldly and with full assurance of our salvation. And this, of course, is what makes the gospel good news. Now, it is in view of these facts that the writer of Hebrews warns his readers, which is, of course, the believers, of the danger and cost of saying goodbye to their faith in Christ. And this is what we would like to expound. I would like to expound with you as we look at Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 39. Now, before we tackle this subject, I would like to bring to your attention a problem, a misunderstanding that is held by many Christians. And this misunderstanding is once saved, always saved. The argument is this: once you have accepted Christ and become part of the family of Christ, you can never lose your salvation, no matter what you do. And the argument is that once you belong to a family, you will always belong to the family. Now, that is true. But keep in mind that if a son leaves his father's home deliberately and says, I want nothing to do with you, I want nothing to do with what you have and what is by native right mine as a son. If he disowns his family and all that the family owns, even though he is still a son of the family, the father, he by his own choice has said goodbye to all the blessings of that family. Nowhere in scripture does it ever teach that we can never lose our salvation. Now it is true, as long as we are believers, as long as we stand under the umbrella of justification by faith, we have full assurance of salvation. But let me put it this way, the righteousness that saves us, the righteousness that qualifies us for heaven, now and in the judgment, is always in Christ. And he is at this moment in heaven where no thief can enter and rob you of that righteousness. But the faith that makes that righteousness yours, the faith that makes the righteousness of Christ effective in us as individuals, that faith is not in Christ, it is in us. And we are living on this earth, Satan's territory, and that Satan can touch. And as we shall see in our study today, that a person who deliberately and ultimately says goodbye to one's faith in Christ is also saying goodbye to all the blessings that God has obtained for us in Christ. Okay, now in view of these facts, let's start with verse 23. See what it says there. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. In view of the fact that it is possible for us to lose our salvation by saying goodbye to our faith, the writer of Hebrews is earnestly pleading with his readers, we must hold firmly to our faith in Christ until the very end. Otherwise, God's hands are tied, since he does not act against our own wills. And he therefore cannot keep his promise regarding our ultimate salvation if we say goodbye to Christ, but if we deliberately turn our backs to him. And this is the danger that even Christ warned his disciples in Matthew 10:17-22. Let me read that passage. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to it. I'm going to read this passage, that is Matthew chapter 10 and verse 17-22 from my NIV translation. That's the New International Version. You can follow from whatever translation you have, but please notice how Christ makes it clear that only those whose faith endures unto the very end will be saved subjectively. Here it is. Be on your guard. This is Matthew 10 verse 17 onward. Be on your guard, said Jesus, against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me. But here's the statement. But he who stands firm to the end, in other words, he whose faith endures unto the end, will be saved. Our salvation is guaranteed as long as we hold on to our faith in Christ. Now our faith doesn't save us, but our faith is saying yes to God's gift, which is salvation in Christ. Now if you turn to Hebrews 6, which we already covered some time ago, please notice how clearly this truth is brought out in verses 4 to 6. And now I read Hebrews 6 verse 4 to 6. It is impossible Have you got it, listener? It is impossible. Impossible for what? For those who have once been enlightened, that is those who have understood the gospel, who have tasted the heavenly gift, which is the, of course, the good news of salvation, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, that is they have experienced the new birth, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, that is the promised hope of eternal life, and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Yes, you may still belong to the family of God, but you are saying goodbye to the blessings that the family of God are offered in Christ when you say goodbye to your faith in Christ. And this, of course, is what Hebrews 10, verse 22 onward is warning the believers, especially verse 23 onward is warning the believers. It is for this reason, in verse 24 and 25, we must encourage each other. We must encourage each other's faith through good deeds and fellowship, especially as we see the end of the world coming, especially as we see the second coming even at the door. Listen to how Paul puts it in verse 24 and 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. In other words, do not stop attending church. Do not feel that you can continue being a strong Christian while remaining at home only. Because you see, the church is the body of Christ. And if you cut the hand from the body, that hand will wither away. If you cut a branch from the trunk or from the vine, likewise, you are cutting away from the source of life. That is why Jesus said in John, abide in me and I in you. So Paul is saying here in verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. So part of corporate worship is to encourage each other to hold on to our faith, especially as we face distress and persecution. And all the more, says Paul, as you see the day approaching, that is the great day of his second coming, which of course will be preceded by some great crisis called the Great Tribulation. Now verse 26, if we deliberately, listen carefully, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. Now what is Paul saying here? We must not interpret this verse out of context, as many do. The sin Paul is referring to here in verse 26 is not the sin against the law, but the sin of unbelief. You see, any sin committed against the law is forgivable because Jesus paid the price for every sin committed against the law. But when you sin against grace, which is the sin of unbelief, you are willfully rejecting the gift of salvation in Christ. And since God created us with a free will, and since God is love, He will not force salvation on those who have deliberately rejected our Savior Jesus Christ. This is because the only valid sacrifice, Paul says in verse 26, that can forgive our sins and qualify us for heaven is the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And once again, he's contrasting the animal sacrifices to the sacrifice of Christ. The animal sacrifices were a type, were a symbol. They were offered continually, daily, yearly, and they had no power to save us. This is what we covered in our last study. But the sacrifice of Christ, that one sacrifice actually legally paid the price for the sins of the entire human race, so that that sacrifice is the only sacrifice that is acceptable before the law of God in terms of forgiveness of our sins. And if you reject that sacrifice willfully, knowingly, that's what verse 26 is saying, then there is no other sacrifice that can take away your sins. In other words, you stand doomed. Now, I go back to what I said earlier. the sin that verse 26 is dealing with in Hebrews 10 verse 26 is not the sin against the law, but the sin of unbelief. And verse 26, 27, 28 and 29 clearly brings this out. Let's look at verse 27, what it says. In the light of verse 26, that is your deliberate rejection of Christ, which is the sin of unbelief. If you do that, then you have nothing else to face but a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. You see, to reject Christ, as we saw in Hebrews 6, is to crucify Christ afresh. You know, my dear listener, there are only two things you can do with Christ and being crucified. You can either cry like the unbelievers of 2,000 years ago did, crucify him, or you can be crucified with him. That is the only two choices you and I have. Either we crucify Christ, and we do that by deliberately rejecting Jesus Christ, and in doing that we join hands with Satan, who is the enemy of Christ, or we can be crucified with Christ, like Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, which means that we are accepting the death of Christ as our death. And as Paul says in Romans 6, he that has died to sin has been justified or has been freed from sin. And so these are the two alternatives. But in verse 27, what Paul is saying, that if you reject Christ, I'm talking about verse 27 of Hebrews 10, if you reject Christ deliberately, persistently and ultimately, then the only thing left for you is the judgment of God. Now, listen to verse 28 of Hebrews 10. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If you broke the law of Moses, and this was witnessed by two or three people, then the sentence that you came under was death. Now, how much more, says Paul in verse 29, how much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant and that sanctifies him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? In other words, a person who has clearly understood the gospel or even accepted the gospel, and at the end of his life he has rejected that gospel, turned his back to Christ deliberately and ultimately, there is no excuse for you, because you have deliberately turned out the gift of salvation. And by doing that, you have deliberately chosen the curse of the law, which is goodbye to life forever. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, before he passed away from this world, he said to the Jewish nation who he had delivered from the house of bondage, which was Egypt, he said to them, God has placed before you a blessing and a curse, a life and death. And God's will is that you choose that life, choose that blessing, that you and your children might live. The cross, on the cross of Christ, my dear listener, the price for the sins of the entire human race was paid. This is the gift of God. This is the good news of salvation. God so loved the world, the human race, that he gave his only begotten Son. In Romans 8 verse 32, I read, God spared not his own Son, spared him not from the terrible agony of the death of the cross. Spared him not, but delivered him up for us all. So salvation has already been obtained in Christ for the entire human race. But, as John 3:16 says, whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, there is a very strong statement that John makes, not in verse 16 of John 3, but in verse 18. I want you to listen to this. John 3, verse 18. In verse 16, we are told that God so loved the world that he gave us his Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. Then John goes on to tell us in verse 17 that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that is what we deserve, but to save the world through him, and that is salvation by grace. That is the good news of the gospel. But now listen to verse 18 of John 3. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. In other words, the moment you believe in Christ, you have passed from death to life. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You see, God doesn't condemn us for being sinners, for we are born sinners. We are born with a nature that can do nothing else but sin. What God condemns us is when we deliberately, persistently, and ultimately reject his gift of salvation in Christ. And that, my dear listener, is my prayer that you will never do. To verse 18, I would like to add verse 36 of John 3. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. In other words, man is not lost because he's a sinner. Man is lost because he has deliberately, persistently, and ultimately rejected the gift of salvation in Christ. But this also applies to the believer who ultimately turns his back to Christ. And that's what Hebrews 10 is warning us all about, warning us against. With this in mind, let's now proceed to verse 32 onwards. Because you see, in view of what we read in verse 26, 27, 28, 29, in view of those who deliberately reject Jesus Christ as their Savior, we must never treat our salvation in Christ lightly. While salvation is a gift to us, we must never forget it was at infinite cost that God saved it. It cost Jesus the cross. Therefore, God will treat anyone who deliberately rejects the gift of salvation severely. Let me put it this way. As long as we are under the umbrella of justification by faith, our salvation is guaranteed. Nobody can snatch it away from you. But when you turn your back to Christ, when you give up your faith in Christ, then you are now doing what the world did to Christ, but now you're doing it deliberately. You're deliberately crucifying Christ afresh. You are rejecting, you're turning your back to the only thing that can save you. That is why our faith is the most valuable thing that we have on this earth. You see, here in America, we think that that plastic card by which we can buy almost anything is an asset. Yes, what we possess in the bank, what we possess in our homes, what we can obtain by that plastic card, wonderful as these things may be, we cannot take to heaven. They are not the most valuable things we have, because they can be destroyed. They can be taken away from you and me. The most valuable thing you and I have is not our bank account, is not our home, is not our assets. It's not that plastic card that can buy almost anything in this country. Our most valuable thing that we possess is something that is not tangible, something that you cannot see with your naked eye, but only with the eye of faith, and that is our faith in Christ. That is the most valuable thing we have. And that is why in verse 35 of Hebrews 10, the Apostle Paul says, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Don't give up your faith in Christ. It will be richly rewarded. And then he goes on, in verse 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, that is your faith endured unto the end, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Folks, Keep your eyes focused on Christ until he comes the second time to take you home. Now listen to verse 38 and 39, because these two verses make it very clear what I've been expounding in the last few minutes. But my righteous one will live by faith. Or as the King James says, the just shall live by faith. The actual text says, he that is just by faith shall live. But now, look at verse, second half of verse 38. And if he shrinks back, that is, if you after accepting Christ as your righteousness, if after you come under the umbrella of justification by faith, you shrink back, you turn your back to this wonderful truth, God says, I will not be pleased with him. In other words, God cannot save us against our own wills. Yes, the gift is still there. But if you turn your back to the gift, if you say, I don't want it anymore, for whatever reason, then God will not force you into heaven. But my prayer for you is verse 39. And here it is. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. Have you got it? We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe unto the saving of the soul. In other words, it is not enough to believe in Christ, dear listener. Yes, the moment we believe in Christ, we have passed from death to life. The moment we believe and come under the umbrella of justification by faith, we have peace with God. But if we shrink back, if we say goodbye to that faith, we are saying goodbye to the gift of salvation. We are saying goodbye to the blessed hope of eternal life. And we are deliberately choosing to be destroyed by the fires of destruction that will come upon those who have rejected Christ. And so it is my prayer that you will never reject this gift. And it is my prayer that your faith will endure unto the end, dear listener, so that one day I will be able to meet with you and see you physically, and all of us will rejoice in Christ and thank him for the unspeakable gift of salvation. This is my prayer for each one of you in Jesus' name. Amen.